Roto-Rooter. Strong roots are going to get into your pipes. It's going to move your foundation. So we call Roto-Rooter out to see if they can cut these roots out. We know the power of an effective root system. It will seek its own life, its own thing that it needs to continue to survive. I think there's a lesson in there for us. If we're going to have strong roots, you don't just have them today and forget about it. There is an ongoing effort to maintain having strong roots that go deep into the very heart of God. Three observations, and the lesson is yours. Number one, as you talk about the significance of strong roots, I see, first of all, we need to understand how important the root system is so for us being sustained. Our nutrients, our substance come to us in a plant world through the root system, but in Christ, it also comes through our faith. That is our root system. That is the thing that if we don't tap down deep, we won't avail ourselves for the nutrients that come out of the Word of God into our faith and then grow up so that we can be strong Christians as we walk forward toward eternity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the idea is, Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This root system is not just a standalone, if you will, but it realizes that it has to constantly thrive. It has to constantly ingest. It has to constantly reach out for water. It has to constantly reach out for nutrients to bring it into its system so that it can be elevated up into the plant itself. If you and I are going to be strong, if you and I are going to have a healthy root system, we need to realize where our nutrients come from, where our water comes from, if you will, and it's the idea of the Word of God. If we are not tapped into that water that flows out of heaven itself, the Word of God, the presence of the Lord is the idea that you and I will not have, cannot have, a healthy root system. And so therefore our roots and our faith can quickly be shaken. A strong root system requires understanding that's where we get our substance. I'm really encouraged. Talk to folk throughout the day and weeks and whatnot, and they're going through troubles. And typically the first thing they'll say is that, Brother Ben, I know I'm going through such and such, but what I do, I read my Bible. But you know, with all the clinical training, with all of the theological effort, it gets down to the idea that when I'm going through this storm, I read the 23rd Psalm. When I go through trials and tribulation, kids ain't acting right. I just sit with my Bible, and I just read some passages, because those passages remind me of my faith to be strong enough to go through this particular thing. They realize where their substance is coming from, and it's from the Word of God. If we're going to have an unshakable faith, we want to make sure that we realize the importance of our root system for providing substance for us. Romans 10:17, you know it well. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Paul clearly talks to the brethren at Rome, and he makes them understand the idea that your faith is coming out of the Word of God. How can you and I have a strong, unshakable faith if the Word of God is not in the building? How can you and I tap into that which is healthy if the Word of God is not in that particular mix? Now, be careful here. There's a lot of fake news out here. You might be reading up on something, and it tells you all about the wonderful things about faith and the Holy Spirit and all of that, but you need to check the roots, because sometimes that's just fake news. Sometimes somebody's throwing out all of this wonderful buffet-looking stuff, but it's not healthy for us. It is only about what's coming out of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There was an interesting piece yesterday on one of the early shows. It was talking about some of the personality profiles that some of the data systems are using. Just by your clicking on certain things, your likes, your dislikes. You are building, at least somebody else is building, a profile on you. So now they'll sell that, if you will, to a marketing company, and then they will say, okay, you know, people are going to buy this product if the people that is advertising it are wearing blue shirts. Because we found in our research that blue shirts tend to be more susceptible to this particular product. And so here you, somebody give you a blue shirt for your birthday, and you walk into this store, and you come out with something that you didn't even know you're shopping for. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. A lot of us have 50 Bibles on our iPad, and we can quote scripture, we can cut and paste in a heartbeat, but we don't understand what's behind that particular passage. Just because I wear a cross bling around my neck, that doesn't mean that I honor the crucifixion of Jesus. So the idea is that we need to be careful. Don't tap your roots into something that looked like water, but it might be something that is very dangerous to the system. That's the idea. Does that make sense this morning? Sustaining. Sustaining. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14. Paul says to the Christians there in the letter to the Hebrews, and that is, there is an anticipation, if you will, if you have a healthy root system for growth and development. And so Paul says, you are still being nourished by milk, and you need to move on to meat. Now, that has nothing against babies. But, you know, babies don't need a whole lot of energy. And so milk will sustain that. That's okay. But if you're going to get up and start exercising your faith and moving on this unshakable faith, you need some protein in you. And so Paul says you need some meat. Well, by reason of time, you need to have been moved on to meat. You're still drinking milk. And so we need to be sustained. And if we're not tapped into the right substance, then you and I will not have that kind of unshakable faith. If your faith is easily shaken, you might want to go back to what you're feeding it. What are you feeding your faith? Roots, they search for nutrients. If you have a tree over here, and if you don't water that tree, but there's moisture around your foundation, guess what? The roots from that tree are going to go to your foundation, because that's where the nutrients are. You and I sometimes get attracted to events, people, activities, because of our needs. And sometimes if we don't realize what our needs are, you and I can end up in trouble. We see a lot of relationships that are troubled, because I'm getting to this relationship because somebody told me I look nice. And sometimes if I haven't heard that, I'll be attracted to it without even knowing about it. We're talking about building and sustaining healthy roots. It has to have its foundation into the Word of God. If not, brethren, you and I are going to be like a ship out here just kind of floating around. Realize the importance of it, and that's the idea of it sustaining us. Number two, realizing the stability of a healthy root system. If I'm going to be stable, and I think if you think about this for a moment, if I'm a Christian, if I have my faith rooted deep in the Word of God, can you think of anybody that should be more stable than I am? But I don't know about you, but I know a whole lot of unstable Christians. Yeah, well, you don't have to say amen, but it's true anyhow. Don't look at your neighbor, just look toward me, okay, so they won't get suspicious. When you begin to look at the stability of a strong root system, in the plant world, I'm told that if you have a mountain or whatever, and if you don't have a lot of trees on it, when the rain comes, guess what? You're going to have mudslides. Those of you who might be from California, live any time out in California, you know that some of those mudslides, you don't see very often a tree going down the mountain. It's just mud. Root systems provide stability. It might shift a little bit, but those roots go in and they keep things stable. why do you want shepherds, if you will, leaders in God's family that have some tenure? The expectation is their roots go low. They go deep. And so when a strong wind comes by, everybody's not blowing over into Oklahoma. It's the idea of stability that's a product, if you will, of having a strong root system. And if we're going to have unshakable faith, we need to have that. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14, with this strong root system, Paul says, we'll no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. How do you keep from participating in the strong breezes, the strong winds that are currently going on, not only in the church of my Lord, but also in this so-called Christian world? How do I allow my faith to be hijacked over into a political arena when in reality God is not a politician? How do I allow that? Because my roots are not strong enough, stable enough, and as a result of that, I'm just going with whatever my political party is. If my guy is crooked as a three-headed snake, that's okay. I give him a mulligan. If my guy is causing all kinds of ungodliness, I'll support that. Why? Because he's my guy or she's my girl. But having a strong root system, I'm going to be stable. I'm going to be consistent. If I'm against immorality, I'm against it when my guy's in the office or your guy's in the office. If I'm for righteousness and holiness, it's only not because of what my guy's doing, but that's my line, and I'm stable in that. A little commentary on our present day situation. Stability. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and listen to what he says. He said, I marvel, I'm surprised that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul says, where's your stability? Paul established this congregation. Paul has ministered to this congregation. Paul has taught this congregation, but they are not stable. Why? Their root system didn't go down deep enough. They're tossed to and fro. They think that they will be able to go back under the law and be justified by their actions, by their effort. And Paul says, how do you move so quickly? How did you move so fast? You get the idea. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 7, you see a picture here that our brother paints here about silly women that are running after every, you know why they're moving all over the place? Instability in their root system. If you have a strong tree with good roots, you're not going to be moving it every springtime. It's going to cost you too much. Because you're going to have, every year, you're going to have to dig deeper. And sometimes we get blown from here, there, and yon because our root system is just not strong, just not stable, is the idea. So realizing the importance, if you will, of healthy roots, it needs to make sure we realize that's where we get our substance. Realize also that it requires stability. And finally, as I come in for a landing, realize a strong root system is about strength. I remember years ago, I'm sure I've shared this before. You know, when you get older, you forget what you've said. So, you know, you have to be alongside with us older people. Not old yet, but just older. Went to Alaska many, many years ago. And so my father-in-law was telling me about the fact, he said, you know, Ben, he said, up here in Alaska, we have bears. I said, well, we have bears in Texas too, you know, but, you know, but okay. I know your bears can beat up our bears, but understand, but we got bears. I know what a bear looks like. He said, I'll tell you what, out here in the forest, I've seen bears hug a tree and completely uproot it. I'm going, well, that's a tough bear right there. Strong. But after all the spin went off of it, again, read a little bit. When in Alaska, about 8-12 inches up under the soil, up under the surface, there's what's called a permafrost. It's kind of solid ice. So it doesn't take a rocket science to realize that if you have a tree, the roots will go down about 12 inches and then they go out. So yeah, big old tough bear, especially one of those Kodiak bears, yeah, he can hug a tree and pull it up. So I told my father, I said, I'll tell you what, you send that bear to Texas and let him try to pull up one of our live oaks. Yeah. Our root system, I need to realize that it's about my strength. It's good for me, it's good for you also to have deep roots because somebody's not just going to walk by and just uproot you. Now, you can compromise on your system, but in reality, if our roots go deep, we're not going to move. Oh, the wind will blow and we'll kind of weave from one side to the other, but you won't be uprooted because you'll have an unshakable faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 24, tons of passages. Look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Our brother Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul says, if you have this whole armor, not just being able to, say, quote a scripture or wear bling, religious bling around your neck, but if you put on the whole armor, don't just walk with a sword. You might need a shield because somebody might not be willing to fight you with a sword. They might shoot an arrow. Put on the whole army, if you will, and having all that we have that a strong, healthy faith gives, you and I can stand. We don't have to be so concerned about all the stuff that's going on, all the discreditation that's happening in the family environment, in our country, in this world. Stand with an unshakable faith. That's what we're all about. In coming and for landings, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 8, Paul says, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. God gives us the kind of faith that allows us to stand. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're working with education with our young people, with children, and encouraging as parents for them to go and get an education so that when the job market opens up, they'll be able to stand, if you will, and get a job. We're working to train them so forth how to be a good father, a good mother, a good wife, a good husband, so that when they begin to get into the mating season, if you will, they'll have something to stand on, and that is the principles that come out of an honorable faith. Stand. Our strength is in our faith, and it's something that you and I can't go down to the grocery store and buy, but it's present nonetheless. Finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, Paul writes, he wrote 1 Thessalonians 3:8 to a young church. But the time he writes 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it's an older church. It's a stronger church. It's been around a little bit longer, if you will. And Paul says again, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got that initial faith when I preached to you, or when I wrote you an epistle back. Bottom line is your faith is tied to the word of God. It is where our strength is. And finally, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. A healthy root system can better support lush leaves. I read that passage, and it kind of troubled me, because none of us like to be corrected, disciplined. Don't like that, not even a little bit. My mom used to, you know, kind of have a conversation with us. It was a one-way conversation. And she'd try to sweeten the pot after it was all over by giving us a piece of candy or hugging us or something. I wasn't hearing all that. Now, 60 years later, I realize that chastisement is necessary. God says something interesting in Hebrews chapter 12. He talks about the idea of chastening. And God chastens those that he loves. I was reading in preparation for the lesson that you take, some of the nursery guys will take a healthy, full, lush plant, a new tree, if you will, they got nice foliage on it. And you know what they do? They prune it. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you got a beautiful tree. Why would you be cutting on it? If our kids are acting right, let's just give them the keys to the car and keys to the house and get away from them. But no, we still keep pruning. Our faith is constantly challenged. Why? Because God wants us to have stronger faith. He doesn't chastise us, chasten us for his good. It's for our good. But in the chastening of us, we realize at the end of the day, we're going to have a stronger faith. You work out, your trainer, if you will, you know, they push you to the limit. I've heard some tough things about trainers. I hope none of you guys are trainers. They don't like you. I know they smile and pay you, but they don't like you because of the challenge. Come on, one more. You know, one girl I used to work with, she said, her trainer would tell her, you grew it, you lift it. Okay. I don't like that. But then all of a sudden now I can fit into that dress. All of a sudden now I can walk up a half a flight of stairs without requiring oxygen. We strengthen our faith by the corrections. So James says, count it all joy when you fall into many faceted trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith yields long suffering. Where are you at this morning? Can you appreciate the value of the unshakable faith in an unmovable God? Can you check your root system? Are you blown away with any kind of bad news that's coming across the channels? Are you shaken if all of a sudden the stock market goes down 0.3 degrees? You get the idea. Or are you able to stand having hope into eternity? That's what the kind of faith God wants us to have will do for us. Are you here this morning wanting that kind of faith? It comes by hearing the word, believing it. It comes by submitting yourself, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and repenting and going down into this watery grave of baptism to allow all your sins to be washed away. And you come up out of that watery grave walking in the newness of life. And that faith is now just kicked in, but God is on a mission with you, and that is to provide an unshakable faith throughout the rest of your life. If you're here, subject to heaven's invitation, in any way, would you together come while we stand and sing the song of invitation?
To Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Cleansing blood of the Lamb, and are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? And are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
As we as a family continue to make this effort to deepen our faith, to have a faith that is unshakable. It doesn't say that life is not going to throw you a curveball. I mean, it's going to happen just before the end of service today. You're going to get a text. Somebody ain't going to speak to you. You get the idea. Wind is always blowing. You don't know how many cracks in your house you have until the wintertime comes in. You know, it's, so we have stuff. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about here. Stuff is going to happen. God doesn't promise us a rose garden without thorns. Amen. We're in this world, and in this world we have trials and tribulations 10 days. That's what the scriptures tell us. But what we're talking about and what we've been focused on this quarter is the idea of developing the kind of faith that is unmovable. And what we've learned so far is that that faith depends upon us checking the root system, making sure that it's providing the sustenance, the stability, the nutrients that come up through the Word of God into our very hearts, and also making sure that it's stable. We don't want to just kind of eat today. And I think about Ray Christmas said some many years ago, he said, he and I were out in Lubbock for a while, and he said, Ben, he said, I learned in Africa that when you eat as much as you can. He said, because you might not eat again, until the next day. So you and I, we feed on the Word. We engorge ourselves on the Word of God, because I don't know what I eat now might help me when that next storm comes. So is it before me, I want to go engorge myself on it, because I want the stability and also the strength that comes by having a faith that goes down deep. May God bless you. Appreciate your attentiveness this morning. I hope it was helpful. May God bless us and strengthen us as we continue to grow, not only through this quarter, but also through the rest of our journey with the Lord and with each other, that we might have a deep, unshakable faith. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Amen. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bride and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?